Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetic. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. And together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, med spa that's located in Pace, Florida. We're very excited about our guest today.
Yeah, we have Dr. Lana Chuck, who I met at one of the Galderma Train the Trainer meetings and immediately felt like I had known her for years, felt like she is family. She is a colleague. She is a pioneer in the field of aesthetics, board certified urologist, really tons and tons of accolades. But what I enjoy most is calling her my friend. And so, Lana, we thank you for being here on the show with us today. Thank you so, so much for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to share your story, because it's really inspirational.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I completely agree. When I first met you and you sat next to me at the Galderma Train the Trainer, I was like, you're going to be my best friend.
And we really are.
Yeah.
And we have fun, exciting things in store with both of us doing it together, right?
Exactly. I feel like we're very similar and we have like same visions and the same passion for training, teaching, and also for aesthetics and all things sexual health related. So yeah, happy to dive in.
And Jerry's excited about that because, you know, he does tons of sexual health stuff in our practice. We both do, but Jerry, that's really kind of a mainstay of his practice. And so he's excited to talk to you about that and how he can make penises work better and make them bigger and all the things you guys do with penises. You guys will have to work that out and excite.
I mean, another episode.
Yeah, another whole episode for that.
The whole episode by itself. Absolutely.
One of the things that really struck me about you from the very beginning, and I want you to share with our listeners, is kind of your journey and your story, because it's not traditional and you faced a lot of hurdles and a lot of kind of adversity in the beginning of your journey into aesthetics. And really what struck me the first time I heard you tell the story was how getting fired from a job, one of the things that's so traumatic for many people, was life-changing for you.
I remember telling a story to someone in a group setting saying how, you know, I was fired from my hospital job of being a urologic surgeon as a, you know, associate professor. And I remember one guy got up and he was like, well, why should we listen to you? You got fired, you know? And it really kind of made me, you know, want to say, well, you know, the reason why I got fired wasn't because I'm not good enough. The reason I got fired was because I didn't stay in my lane. And I didn't listen to everything that somebody else wanted me to do because I was easy to control, right? And I feel like, you know, going, you know, through life, and I'll get into my story, but one thing that I learned was that if you ever want to succeed, if you ever see a path that's different than what everybody wants of you, everyone always tries to bring you down and tell you, don't do it, don't do that thing. But when you go ahead and you live your life for yourself, and you're not living your life from somebody else, you realize that you really have to sometimes pivot, change lanes, do whatever it takes, be a disruptor, rattle some cages, because only you can get to the point where you need to get it. Only you understand your journey and your path to where you want to be in life. So yeah, I started off as a urologic surgeon. I actually didn't even know what a urologist was until I worked at a practice as a medical assistant. I actually applied to be the secretary and I didn't get the job because I wasn't good enough.
Wow, so I did not know that part. I'm learning.
It's very interesting. I applied for a secretary position. I didn't get it, but one of the girls who did get that position was someone that I tutored in chemistry. And but they liked me and they said, well, you know, you're very smart. You're going into med school. So, you know, let's have you come back and be a file girl. So then I went from file girl to a medical assistant and then 10 years later to become a urologist. But yeah, urology was always what I wanted to do. Everyone always looks at me and they're like, why do you want to be a urologist? You know, you can take care of, like, you know, men's genitalia. And of course, you know, urology is very sexy. You know, we do a lot of endoscopy. We do a lot of advanced lab and robotics. You know, I'm well-trained in robotics. I'm actually fellowship trained in robotics. And so, you know, kind of going through that journey and, you know, just becoming this super specialized, like 1% of female urologists who's a minority doing robotic urology. When the robot just came out, the Da Vinci robot just came out, we were doing prostate, you know, prostate resections. We were taking out bladders, kidneys, et cetera. And I thought I was on top of the world when I got into residency and I went to Brown and I did a fellowship in robotics. And then I realized that when you get to the top, especially if you're like type A and you have this idea, this goal, and you want to dream of getting somewhere, once you get to that place, you're kind of like, well, what's next, right? And it wasn't until I had my children that I felt like, you know, I really need to do something for my children, because living the life that I was living, being an academic urologist and living with a W-2, you know, you don't really build anything that, you know, could sustain, you know, my children who have special needs. And so that's when I decided that maybe I wasn't that happy where I was, because I wanted, you know, a little bit more. And when I say a little bit more, you guys, it wasn't like I wanted the world. I just wanted to be paid the same as my male colleagues. And that's when everything started to rock the boat, because I asked for more money when, you know, after 5 years of working nonstop, taking no vacations and asking for more money, and they told me no. And that's when I started to look into something else, because I have two children with special needs, and I knew that I needed to build something for them that can help them be financially dependent on me for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And you and I have had these conversations a little bit about money, and they're touchy subjects. It's touchy subjects with employers. And so when you are a W-2 employee, you are kind of dependent on that. And it's sometimes hard to know what your counterparts or what your colleagues are making. And I find oftentimes that sometimes we're shocked when we find out other people doing similar jobs or maybe even not as much as we're doing, maybe making more money. And so I, fortunately, you know, I think I have had probably some good fortune. I think being a white male, you know, as a gay male, definitely in a minority, but still the privilege of being a white male, have had some advantages that maybe my female counterparts did not have, that they had to struggle through. But I also still find those conversations very difficult to this day to initiate and to have. And I think that's one of the great things about being an entrepreneur, you know, kind of being a disruptor, is you can't create your own path. You're not dependent on somebody else to dictate that path for you.
Absolutely. I remember the only way I found out how much they made was because, one thing was my fellow that I was training in robotics, he needed a visa. And when you have a, you know, somebody outside of the States coming in, and they were offering him more money as a fellow coming in than me as the attending who had been there for 5 years, who was helping to train him in robotics. And because he needed a visa, they actually posted his salary. And when I saw that his salary was actually $75,000 more than what I was making, that's when I said, okay, something has got to give, right? And I rocked the boat. I asked for more money. They told me a couple of things. They said, well, first, you have to show me that you're worth it. You got to, you know, show me that someone else is willing to hire you with, you know, and give you more money. And I did. And when he saw that I was, you know, worth more than what he was paying me, he said, you know what? You should go there. I can't pay you that much money. You should go there. And so there was a couple of things that kind of led to, all right, then I'm just going to make my own money, right?
What originally, you know, sparked your interest in aesthetics? Because that seems like a stretch. I get the same question. How did I jump to aesthetics from anesthesia critical care? So it's almost as much of a stretch from urology. Like, how do you make a jump from urology to aesthetics?
My father, who is like my hero, we all came from very humble beginnings. They escaped from China during, you know, the communist revolution. And they came to the U.S. with basically nothing. They sacrificed their lives. You know, they had no money. They had like $6 in their pocket when they came. And my father was a serial entrepreneur. He like started things, failed, started up again, failed. And one of the things that he was doing was, you know, he realized that the spa industry was huge. So about 20 years ago, he, you know, got some investors and just went all in on the spa in the city. And, you know, it's interesting because once that spa, you know, was built, then 9/11 happened. And when 9/11 happened, the spa was kind of close to downtown. We had to close down. And when we closed down, you know, obviously no money was coming in. So my dad decided to keep the doors open. He decided to give free services to the volunteers for 9/11. And he became, you know, kind of big on TV. And then celebrities started coming. And so our spa was kind of known, you know, to be like a, you know, pillar in the community for a while. And I thought, well, how cool would it be if I was, you know, there helping out the spa and doing some aesthetics. So it was really just a matter of, you know, my dad has a spa. It's not a medical spa because no one in the family has ever become a physician. I was the first one to do that, you know, to make my parents happy. And I realized that, you know, it's not about vanity, and it's procedural, which I love, but it's also about making people happy. And that's something that I feel like all physicians or you know, nurses, NPs, when they go, you know, to school, this is what they want to do. They want to help people. They want to make people feel better, right? And we want to please people. So I'm a people pleaser. I feel like, Chris, you're the same way. But I, you know, I just felt like going into this was a no-brainer because, you know, this is my family's business, and I could help bring that family business to the next level by doing aesthetics.
And you have definitely accomplished that. Really one of the most successful aesthetic physicians now with, you have how many locations, 3 or 4?
Yeah, we're opening up our fourth location.
I thought it was around 4, right? And so in New York and New Jersey. Yeah, so all in the Northeast there, big brand. You know, it's interesting. So not just, you know, the overcome challenges, jump from urology into aesthetics, but you also are a co-owner and founder of one of the, you know, a very large store for aesthetic providers, right? And so I talk about it all the time. So facemedstore.com. So an amazing, amazing resource for those aesthetic providers that are listening to us, where you have went out and found a way to purchase things in huge quantities to really bring down the prices, because a lot of people that are wanting to go into aesthetics are struggling. So you and I have kind of found our way, Jerry, you know, along with me. We've been doing this now for 16 years. And I always say that it's interesting because the discounts that I get now and the volume buy that I get now are things that I really could have used at the start of this journey. Now I'm in a place where, yes, I appreciate them. MedSpa is much more profitable. But in the beginning, it was hard. And it was hard for a lot of years for us to just buy the supplies and pay for the training and education. So I think you've done something really wonderful by founding this Face Med Store, where you can really bring down the prices and help, you know, not just people that starting up, I guess people that have been in this, the industry with their profit margins, but especially for these new providers that are struggling with everything they have to buy. You have so many resources in there. And you're also starting, you know, another virtual program, right? Almost like a metaverse. I think that may be like kind of what it's like a virtual provider's office. So you have lots of exciting projects going on, but not, you know, I just think it's amazing. So you're the mom of 2 special needs children, and that's your first priority. And you rock that. And now you have multiple practice locations, Face Med Store, and you're starting up this virtual. And I'm sure that's only scratching the surface of all the things that you're doing.
You know, I'll be very honest with you. I'm someone who loves to do many things. And, you know, I consider myself a visionary. Like, I had these ideas, but I need a whole team to help me execute because I can't execute all these ideas. When I started in this business about 6-7 years ago, I had no mentorship, right? Any time that I would put myself out there and ask for help, I was always met with resistance because nobody wants to help. Nobody wants to tell their secret, their trade secrets. Nobody wants to help anybody else out in this business because it's very cutthroat. And, you know, I actually joined an aesthetics group on Facebook, and I was pretty much cyberbullied off of that Facebook group. You know, like, who are you? You're a urologist. You know, you're not core, et cetera. And what I decided was, you know what? Let me open up our own community of people who can ask these questions for help and can get mentorship. And we built a community now of over 30-something thousand injectors. But it was the community that helped us launch Face Med Store, because within the community, what we've realized early on, Chris, was that we are able to get more with power, right? So there's power in numbers. And when we had a substantial amount of people in our community, I was able to go to these large companies to get better pricing. And so what we did was we went to these companies and said, well, what if we bought in bulk And then we could share the savings with all of our members. And that's how it all started. We actually had a GPO with Allergan when we first started that took maybe 9 months in the making to get so that everybody, you know, would be able to get better pricing. But, you know, that's really the premise of what we do, Chris, is that, you know, we want to help everybody out. We want to help those mom and pop stores because you know how difficult it is nowadays with private equity, you know, creeping up into the space. And, you know, it's just very difficult, you know, with everybody coming in with these large, deep pockets. You know, how are we going to help each other survive? And in my mind, who, you know, the avatar that I'm helping is somebody that was like me 5 to 7 years ago, who has a family, wants to build something, you know, wants to have their own practice, but just needs help, right? And so our goal is to really help our community build each other up. Because what I realized, Chris, and you know this too, is when we give to our community, when we give back to others, when we help others, when we give value to people, you know, everything comes back to you, right? People always ask me, like, how are you doing all these things? It's just when you're passionate about helping other people, when you're passionate about, you know, growing and making people feel good and making people look good. And, you know, it just all comes together. And then you look for opportunities as it comes. So sometimes you don't see 5 years down the road, you know, I'm sure that people ask all the time, like, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan, right? And it's great if you have that plan. None of this was planned and life is not planned. And you just kind of sometimes, you know, go with the flow. And what I've realized was that kind of aligning myself with amazing people that had similar visions and similar values to align myself with those people so that we can get into bigger rooms, make more noise and help other people once we're more visible.
I've been quiet just because I've been listening. I'm here. I'm just listening. It's pretty amazing. Like from the first time Chris met you, like I heard about you that night after the game training, you know, and he talked from that night about the passion you have, and it's like hearing your story. I've heard it parts of it briefly.
You've heard it filtered through me mostly.
Filtered through Chris mostly, but it's funny because the passion's not just about what you're doing now, but it goes all the way back to that secretary position that you did not get, you know. And you were enough passionate about it that you went not just for that, but then to be an MA. And I don't know if you know this about Chris, but he was a secretary after med school. So y'all have that in common. No one knew that.
I never told anybody that I had finished because I'm a foreign medical graduate. And so I finished off cycle. And so I had a 6-month gap between when residency started and when I finished med school. So I didn't tell anyone. And I went and I worked in an office downtown Chicago. I typed insurance policies and I worked in a little cubicle. And up until the time that I turned in my resignation, I never told them that I was a physician. I just went there every day and did what I needed to do to make my paycheck and was as humble as everybody else there. I appreciated the opportunity to have a job and to work and to be able to grow, you know, my medical career. I knew that was ahead, but it wasn't quite there yet.
And so seeing that passion, you know, that passion doesn't just start when you're successful. There has to be something to get you to that point. And to get you through all of the, because it's not been easy for you. Like we're seeing you now, like smiling and happy because you've gotten there, you know. But to see someone that can maintain passion through the challenges and different things, like, is really inspirational for me as a practitioner that's in the midst of it. But hopefully for everyone else, whether they're practitioners or just consumers that are listening to it, because everyone's going through something, you know.
Yeah, I know, like we all look now, we're like, oh, we're successful. Like if you ask me, do I think I'm successful? I'm going to tell you, you know, there's a lot of things that I succeeded in, but I don't think anyone actually looks at themselves and like, hey, you've really made it. You know, we're just right. Not that type of people, you know? Yeah. And I grew up in very humble beginnings. And, you know, I think growing up with nothing and seeing, you know, my father, you know, start from nothing and then fail multiple times, but then get back up and, you know, have another idea and then, you know, go for it, you know, with everything and, you know, almost like without fear. I'd almost call it like the immigrant mentality, right? Like, you know, we meet these people in life that, you know, they're just, you know, they work really hard and that mentality of, you know, anything could be taken away from me at any time, I think is what drives a lot of us, right? And I think when you have something that drives you, you know, to the point where you can't give up because there's no other option. You know, like for me, having a family and being the breadwinner, there's no other option. I can't fail. So when I was told by my chairman, or actually by HR, like, you're getting fired, you know, it really brought me to rock bottom, because I've never been fired from anything in my life. I've always been an overachiever. Anything anyone wanted me to do, I would do. And so it really shook things up for me for a bit. But like with everybody else, you know, you could sit there, you could cry like on the bathroom floor for a couple of hours, and, you know, but then you got to pick yourself back up again, because there's really no room for you to just sit there and not succeed. And so you just got to pick up all the pieces and you just go, because there's no other option. So I think a lot of what we see when other people succeed, like my father, is just like, failure is not an option. You just go for it, right? You know, you may not have the funds, you may not have the money, but you'll find a way to do it. As long as you're passionate, you're a good person, and you really believe in yourself and you have the skills to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, couldn't agree with all of them. There's so many things that you've said, and, you know, just the past 20 minutes that resonate with me. Even some of the sayings about your journey and your life's journey, and how people don't have to understand it. I put a saying about that just on my Instagram yesterday, some inspirational things, right? And so a lot of what you say definitely resonates with me, the personality type, how you kind of reach what other people would externally view as the pinnacle of success. But in your mind, it's still like, I have to keep doing things, because any of this can be taken away from me at any moment. And so I feel blessed and fortunate that Jerry and I have good health and we have a successful business and we've grown to this point. But I still feel like, very much like you, like there's more to be done. You know, for me, my passion is education. And I say all the time, if I would hit the lottery, I would do it for free, because I really enjoy seeing these new providers and remembering exactly how I felt in their shoes. And much like you, we did not have a lot of resources back then. You know, we started 16 years ago, and it was hard to find mentors. It was hard to find people that, as you mentioned, were non-core. So it was viewed as, you're not plastics, you're not derm. Why are you in our space? Why are you in our lane? We were very, so we did some Botox parties, and I can remember being a little bit embarrassed about it. Like, maybe we don't need to tell people we do that. We need to keep it quiet. Now I openly talk about it. I'm like, guess what? That built our practice. And so we did what we needed to do to pay the bills at that moment. And I'm very proud of the business that we've been able to build over the years. And now I'm passionate about sharing that with other people and also helping them learn the business aspects of aesthetics, because I also think that that's a little bit that you and I had to learn it the hard way. We had to just get out there and do it. You probably had a lot of mentorship and guidance from your father. I did not come from a family of entrepreneurs. They all worked for other people. So owning a business, running a business, managing it, that's all been new for both of us. We've had to kind of learn the hard way. So I love sharing that with other people and, you know, kind of helping maybe them avoid some of the mistakes that we made early on in our career, in our med spa career, I should say.
Yeah, it's definitely different when you're not a W-2 employee.
I love it when people say they won't. Yeah, I love it when they say they want better work-life balance. And I was like, well, you're actually going to work more when you own the business than you've ever worked.
There's no balance. You just integrate it.
There's no balance.
I really want to thank you for taking time. I know you're incredibly busy, and I want you to go and you know, enjoy those babies this afternoon. Enjoy those kids. I know you've been at work all day. So thank you so much for taking time to be with us. Your story is incredibly inspirational. For those of you, you can go and see us. You can see her beautiful face on our YouTube channel, because this podcast will be able to be viewed on there. Or if you're listening to us, we're going to have all the links below where you can check out Dr. Lana, all of her social media profiles, her facemedstore.com. We'll have links to that. So if you're an aesthetic injector provider on a med spa, I encourage you to go check it out. You will find some amazing deals on there that will really help you run your practice successfully. And I hope that we can do this again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, you guys. This is so fun.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you again next week.
See you soon.